Hello and welcome to episode 194 of the Saints Score podcast, where we discuss everything going on at Southampton Football Club. After recovering from a four-game losing streak to collect wins over Leeds United and Stoke City, Southampton's home match against relegation-threatened Rotherham looked like another 3 points were on the cards for Russell Martin's men. For most of the match, the fixture was as easy on the pitch as it looked on paper until Jordan Hugill's 76th-minute strike earned the visitors a point. To discuss the game and preview the match against Hull City after the international break, my name's Harry Tizard. I'm joined by Jamie Allen and Ollie Bose this week, and I'll start with Ollie. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I'm doing all right. I'm feeling a little bit guilty because at the end of last episode, I did predictions and I was like, nothing less than 3 points. This has to be must win. And I was like, oh, let's hope I don't jinx it. And then I jinxed it. So if anyone wants to blame me responsible partially, then I don't really mind that. But yeah, a little bit frustrating about the result. We'll get onto it later. I feel like it's a very championship result. We said at the start of the season, oh, anyone can get a result out of anywhere. But I think this is the one where we let down everyone's Akers and stuff like that. This was the no-brainer. Everyone was banking on this one and we let everyone down. So I think Saints weren't very popular, I don't think, this weekend.
And Jamie, how are you doing?
I'm good. Who would have thought 2 podcasts in a row? I'm back. it's all the listeners are happy, they're ecstatic, but yeah, not too bad, thanks. Had a busy start to the week, so good to be here. And I nearly called the right result as well with my 1-0 prediction, but I got very cut thin on the TikTok page.
Yeah,
but I was nearly right. Unfortunately, their goalkeeper turned into prime Manuel Neuer, so doesn't help.
Well, let's talk about that game right now. It felt like it was going to be easy. After 2 minutes, Stuart Armstrong scored, calmed all the nerves, and it looked like it would be an easy 3 points. However, that 76th-minute goal, and we just couldn't quite find the winner. Ollie, what are your overall reflections on the match?
It was just a painful one. The fact that we had plenty of chances, we had really good opportunities. I think we created enough goal scoring opportunities, we just didn't put them away, to be honest, which is frustrating. I don't really think we could have done that much more apart from just put our chances away. And I think it's a little bit of a hangover of last season. We don't have a lot of players confident in front. Well, I say that we've got some really capable strikers and we've got some real quality people in our team, but it's that cutting edge and that winning mentality. I think sometimes we fall back on it a little bit and we kind of revert into our old ways and don't tuck away our chances when we need to. But it looked very positive. It was a very positive start. Like you said, we had majority of control of the game. We looked very confident. And it's just a little bit of a recurring theme of that holding on to a 1-0 and not killing it early, which I thought we were very good at doing at Leeds. And I think that's how we walked away with 3 points, is because we killed it early. But our last couple of games haven't really been able to push on from those 1-0s. So I would like to see us come out of the gates after that first goal and really push for a second straight away. And I think that's kind of what cost us.
So Ollie says we've created plenty of chances but couldn't quite put them away. Jamie, what did you think about the match against Rotherham?
It's like Ollie's mentioned in the intro, it's like, it is a championship match defined. I was speaking to a friend of mine who's a big Leeds fan as when we got relegated. He's telling me that when championship football is crazy because anything can happen. And it's a perfect example of it because Rotherham, on paper, we should have battered them. And we did statistically. It's just not in the one part as important, which is goals. And also, what I mentioned in the preview, what, four games, away games in a row they've lost. And we are the curse breakers. So it's unfortunately what we do at Southampton Football Club. But I think like Ollie kind of summed up quite well. It's just we had all the chances in the world. It's just we don't have the players to finish it up, unfortunately.
Well, there's only one change going into the game. Alcaraz out, Adams in. And before we get into the match, actually, I forgot to mention Carlos Alcaraz's new contract. How much of a boost was that on the day before when we saw that lovely announcement video?
Yeah, it just kind of popped out of nowhere, and I was really kind of confused because I was thinking, we didn't really sign him that long ago, but they just basically triggered the one-year contract extension. So it's nice to know that there are contract talks going on in the background. It did make me think a little bit. It was like, well, if Alcaraz can kind of quickly be snapped up like that and put on a contract, then they must be keep prodding Che Adams and going, have you made your mind up yet? Have you made your mind up yet? Have you made your mind up yet? Because, yeah, really interesting to see how quickly that must have got done. And interesting that Russell Martin said, I'm sure all of you know by now as well, which makes us think, well, what is going on in the background? Because, yeah, all the players obviously had an idea. We had absolutely no idea until it got posted online. So, yeah, it was great news. And I think you look at all the comments and the responses there. They're thrilled to see that Alcaraz is staying around. I think the supporters is the real thing that has kept him around, because that's the thing he keeps talking about. How about the support from the club and the fans has been immense since he's joined. So, yeah, I think it's a real credit to the environment that we've set up here and we've managed to keep him, because there was a lot of interest. I don't know whether you know the names. I can't remember off the top of my head. I think Brentford were linked, but there was definitely Premier League interest around him yet again in the transfer window, and we managed to retain him. I can't. Do you know who the names are specifically? I think Brentford's one.
I think just like big teams in Portugal. Yeah. I think Napoli were also interested, because there was that weird period of the market where his agent came out and said that certain teams are interested. I think Benfica, obviously one of the big teams in Portugal. But you sort of look on reflection of that contract. He's someone that, you know, he's played plenty of football this season, but there was parts where he's been put on the bench. He's came on with 20 minutes to go. Once again, probably mainly due to fitness reasons, nothing else. He didn't start this game. Do you think that on reflection of all of this, it shows how much he probably backs maybe where we're going as a club, where Russell Martin's going as a manager, where he's leading us? What do you sort of think that's in his mind at the moment?
Well, I think it's a real positive, because, like you said, if he was in the first team and if he was banging in a load of goals, so if it was like Adam Armstrong, it would make a load of sense, because naturally as a player, you're on form, you're happy where you are, you want to sign that deal. With Alcaraz, he's been a little bit in the team, out the team, like you said, pick up injuries, not quite match fit. And the manager even coming out a couple of weeks ago and saying he's not quite ready at the moment. But I think it's a testament to the management behind the scenes and saying that you will get your opportunity, and the way that they've managed a player who isn't in the starting in the team week in, week out, but he's still happy and he still wants to, you know, stay around. That's basically what signing a contract extension is, isn't it? It's saying we want to protect our assets and you want to stay here, and on both sides they're happy. So yeah, I think it must be a credit to the management. I think a lot of players behind the scenes must be happy with what Russell Martin's doing, and obviously buying into it as well.
Were you surprised not to see him in that starting 11? Adams comes in for what feels like his first start in a couple of games, especially since the whole transfer saga. Were you surprised it was just him, or there wasn't more changes going on, especially, I think it was, what, 3 games in 8 days, so a busy period?
I think it was a very strong team. I think we predicted rotation when we were doing our preview, but I couldn't really, I don't know about you, I don't think there could have been a stronger team. For me, it kind of looked perfect. I think having Adam Armstrong and Che Adams on the pitch at the same time was a real danger. I think Sunamana, especially last episode, we were talking about his output, and we're finally starting to see a little bit more of it. You can't really drop Stuart Armstrong after that free kick, and thank God we didn't, because he got that goal nice and early. Flynn Downs had a really, really strong game the game before, and I'm a really big advocate for Smallbone as well. So for me, perfect team. I don't really think you could have changed much. So, yeah, a little bit concerning that strong of a team couldn't put away Rotherham. But in terms of when it was 2 o'clock and the team sheet came through, I didn't have really any complaints at all.
Jeremy, you the same? Only one change, but a very strong team.
Yeah, as I said, I was very excited when I saw Chadham's got the call up and Alcaraz dropped. Well, not to say I had the Alcaraz dropped, obviously, after the big news, Argentina call-up and the new contract, I thought he'd stay in the lineup. However, seeing him swapped for Che Adams, I'd argue maybe a positive substitution, because of the fact it's a natural striker playing in position rather than, not I'd say makeshift, with Charlie Alcaraz playing in that number 9 role. He's done all right, but it's just I was expecting heavy, heavy goals from us because of the fact we're playing a mid-table Premier League striker, you could argue, in Che Adams against League One Rotherham side. But unfortunately, it wasn't to be. And just the 1-1 was quite sad.
Well, one goal inside 2 minutes. I think at that point, everyone thought it'd be a nice 3-4, easy as you like. But sadly, it wasn't the case. But we'll talk about that goal. 2-2 for Stuart Armstrong, Ollie. How happy are you to see his name on the sheet?
Yeah, there was a point where I thought we'd genuinely seen the best of Stuart Armstrong and that his days were kind of numbered at the club. There was interest in the summer of him potentially going, and we kept mentioning this long COVID and saying that he's never really looked the player afterwards. And, you know, I know dropping down to the Championship might allow him a bit more time on the ball and allow him to kind of attack the strikers, but that natural talent putting in that that free kick, that's no accident. That's talent right there. And yeah, if he can build up his fitness and start getting a few 90 minutes under his belt, I think he could be a really, really important player for this season. I know a couple of seasons ago, he was one of my favourite players to watch. Just his progression with the ball, he was always exciting, always had a good pass at the end as well. So yeah, if we can see a bit more of that in the Championship, I think he's a crowd pleaser, and I think people will be excited to see what he does.
Well, Jamie, we had 12 shots in that half compared to Rotherham's one. Suleiman had a good run before the goalkeeper made a great save. Adam Armstrong was offside when he put the ball into the net. Adam's header was saved, and Adam Armstrong had another shot blocked as well. I looked at SofaScore, and the XG, if people like those sort of statistics, was 2.04 to 0.1. You couldn't have really had a better first half apart from the actual scoreline.
Yeah, when you it's funny because when you look at the stats and see the numbers are so high, when you actually say out loud the individual chances, it is kind of ridiculous. And I'm not too sure how I've only seen the Armstrong goal from a certain angle. I'm not too sure how offside it was or how tight it was, but that exact finish was insane,
delicious.
And it's a striker with confidence, which we could have used last season in Adam Armstrong, but hopefully he'll continue that confidence in him, Emily, when we hopefully get back to the Prem later on. But yeah, when you have those chances actually said out loud, it is, I'm not saying I necessarily justify the booing that was put around, I think we'll cover that later. It's just like, I see the frustration from the fans. However, I think it just was one of those games where their keeper literally was ridiculous, and I think I saw lots of people saying one of the best goal away keeping performances we've seen at St Mary's in a long, long time. And unfortunately, that just happens every now and then. And where the opposition's team just, I wouldn't say lucky, because he was talent, he was making good saves, and that's just what's going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, last week, Ollie, we reflected on the Leeds United first half and thought 3-0 up, we're nice and comfortable, we've got the win in the bag. Do you maybe think that any of that was in the players' heads going into half-time against Rotherham? Yes, the score was only 1-0, but when you've controlled a game like that, why can't you just do it in the second half, they might be thinking, but then they got caught out.
Yeah, and Russell Martin talked in the, I always kind of, it was a very short conference, I think, the week before, but the key word that I took out of it was complacency, and he said we won't have that complacency going into the game. And I think that showed in the first half, but sitting down at half time, they might have already been thinking about what they're having for dinner and not thinking about their second half and thinking we need to kill this off, because as well, the game before, we had a 1-0, we held on to it and we looked reasonably comfortable, and they thought, well, why don't we just kind of do that again? But I think it does require concentration, and whoever you're playing in the league, it's important to switch on and either push for that second goal and keep the momentum, or, you know, retain possession to a point where Rotherham's danger is nullified. But we gave them an opportunity, we kind of dropped the ball a little bit, and it's a very good chance. It's a very good finish, rather, and they've dispatched it away brilliantly, and that's why they've walked away with a point, because they had one half chance, I'd call it, and they put it away.
Yeah, Jamie, reflecting on that second half, I listed down the chances. Benrek had a header saved by the goalkeeper. Smallbone's shot was also saved, a fantastic one at that. Do you think there was a level of complacency that we still had a goal worth of chances from a statistical standpoint, but it did feel slightly that we put our foot off the gas?
Yeah, I think when you're having so many chances in that first half, it probably gets in the players' heads that, oh, they can't do that all day long. And instead of that, you were saying that going to that restroom with the complacency, I think they're like, oh, they may have made a few lucky saves. But when the keeper is pulling out those world-class saves like he was in that second half, I think the players started panicking a bit more, because it was a bit more sloppier. The goals were like the Hayward, Bellis. When his chance, for example, was headed off the line, it's like, it was a lot scrappier compared to the first half chances, what you could argue more quality. But I don't think myself better. I think this was one of those days where keeper was out of this world.
A lot of people have put the blame on the result with Russell Martin as well. On the 63rd minute, both the Armstrongs and Sulemana came off for Alcaraz, Fraser and Edozie. Ollie, how do you look at that choice of substitutions from Martin? Do you think it's strange? Do you think it was the correct decision based on fitness? Or do you just rather we got the game done in terms of a scoreline and then we can give players rests?
Yeah, it might have been, on hindsight, it might have been a little bit premature and you wanted to kill the game off. But you have to think we've had a lot of fixtures in a congested amount of time. And I think if one of them got injured, then there might have been complaints the other way around. Then people might have said, just, you know, take the draw. And if one of them got injured, then there have been complaints the other way around. So the players know their fitness levels, but also the manager is the first to notice as well. And if there is an issue there and thought, you know, let's get them off and retain that energy and make sure that they don't have an injury going into the international break, then that's the manager's decision. Also, we're blessed with a very strong squad. I don't think Fraser is a bad opportunity, like a bad option off the bench at all. In fact, I think he looked reasonably good coming off the bench. And we know what Edozie can do. He was starting a lot of games at the start of the season because of what the manager had seen in him. So they're decent options off the bench. We're not massively getting weakened and they should be still strong enough. I mean, yeah, Ryan Fraser in a squad that could have potentially been in the Champions League. I know he's not, and he was rather training in the under-23s. However, you talk about a quality like that and then going to Rotherham at home, you think he should really be standing out, and the manager wants to give him his opportunity as well. You think about a player coming in who might not have been in the side for as long. It's a perfect opportunity to prove yourself. Someone like Edozie, go and prove yourself why you should be starting ahead of Sulemana. So I don't really think you can criticise the substitutions too much. It's very easy to criticise them after not getting that win. But I also think it was a very good opportunity to give those players chances. And I'm not too disappointed with the substitutions.
Jamie, on the same page as Ollie, you know, the likes of Edozie, Alcaraz, they could be key players for us across this season. And do you know what? I think they have been so far. And, you know, with Alcaraz, he was last season. Do you think there's a level of disrespect from some of the fans that our substitutes weren't, or at least they could have been, you know, a positive impact with the likes of Sulemana and maybe Adam Armstrong just out of legs?
Well, I think they're very, very capable candidates to come on and replace them. So obviously, you could argue Adam, all three of them are one of our best, because our best players so far this season. To replace them with the likes of Charlie Alcaraz, who just got in the Argentine national squad, with Lionel Messi, the second best footballer ever after some of the GOATs. But yeah, you can't really complain too much. But I think the only thing I'd understand the complaint about is the Sakumara and the Joe Aribo substitution, because taking Che Adams off in the 86th minute is not the call you want to make. Because think about the late goals he scored of us at the start of the season. Like, was it Sheffield Wednesday away? He got the winner. It's like he's a prime player for that sort of situation. I think that's the only one I necessarily would complain about, because at 86th minute, what realistically can Joe Aribo and Sakumara do and influence the game in, what, 5 minutes? Unless there was quite a lot of added time. However, that wasn't necessarily a given. So I think if that's something to complain about, if it was earlier in the game, maybe 75th, 70th, then that's kind of fair enough. But an 86-minute substitution when you're 1-1 with Rotherham, don't take off one of the best strikers in the league.
Yeah, I mean, Adams has been a match winner twice for us this season. And Sakumara and Joe Aribo, they could be good players for us, but we just haven't seen it so far. Going back to the 76th minute, Ollie, I want your opinions on the entire drama that seems to have unfolded. They throw the ball out, make three substitutions. Che Adams throws it back to them and they score almost immediately after with a lovely finish from Pugel. Maybe some questions around Bazuna as well. What did you think of that whole, you know, 1 minute period?
Bizarre. but there's no, we don't have to give it back. And I think some people call it a lack of lapse of I've got a lack of concentration. I can't talk, but yeah, a little bit of just kind of that warrior mentality is not really there. They've just kind of, yeah, give it back to them, and maybe a bit of complacency as well, kind of thinking, oh, okay, yeah, we've given it back to them, but we'll be fine. And it's come from a bit of a poor header clearance. I wish Mikey was here. He could analyze it absolutely pinpoint perfectly. But to me, it just looks like a loose kind of short header that's fallen, a first time shot, and it's looped over a Bazunu. I think it's a brilliant finish. It's perfectly weighted. You couldn't have hit it much better. And I don't think there's too much blame on Bazunu. I think he's active on his goal line now, which I think is something we've wanted from a goalkeeper for a while. And it's the risk you take, I think, a little bit. You're off your line. It's because you're going to be claiming balls if there's crosses, which I think a team like Rotherham would want to do. He's a little bit high, yes, but he's off his mark quickly. And we know he's one of the quickest goalkeepers off his mark. So I have no real complaints there, but he's just been caught out and it's a brilliant finish. So it is frustrating. I understand that, especially considering the dominance we had. But I think the lapse of concentration in the way that Rotherham got the ball is the thing that should be disappointing, not the finish in which they got their goal.
Jamie, I'm going to ask the same question. What are your reflection on the events? Should we have given the ball straight back? Should Bazunu have done better? Or was it just a great finish from Hugo where you've got to put your hands up and go fair play?
Yeah, I think it was a poor clearance from Hayward Billis. It was just like a bit of a rough header out and unfortunately went straight to a Rotherham player. And it's just like, yeah, it's hard to evaluate what Bazunu is going to do there because, yes, you could argue he was quite far off his line. However, that is a situation where he's expected to concede from. I know goalkeeper should be expecting to save at any point in the game. However, not from being lobbed when you look like your team literally about to clear the ball. It's just unfortunate because it is an amazing finish from Hugo. However, Bazunu was a bit far off his line. But he also shouldn't have been there in the first place because it should have been cleared.
Oh, yeah, he also made a great save a few moments later as well. Also, I think his name is Oliver Rathbone, put a ball through Alcaraz's legs and he made a good save from a deflected strike. Like Jamie said earlier in the episode, we then had a chance cleared off the line and we weren't able to get that late winner. And Ollie, after the game, Russell Martin said that it was a good performance and no one would have complained if we won 3 or 4-0 because that's the result the performance deserves. Do you agree?
I do. I do agree to an extent because everyone, of course, would be very happy if you put the ball in the back of the net. And I think sometimes you can play very well, but sometimes a bit of ugly football to get some goals is also not the worst thing in the world. I love the fact Martin sticks to his principles. He plays the same way from the first whistle to the last whistle. But it, you know, people didn't walk away happy at the end of the game. And I think that's the thing you got to think. People went there expecting us to win because of the quality we have, because of the form that Rotherham are in as well. And we should really be doing better. So I understand we played some good football. We created some great opportunities. And the keeper, like Jamie's mentioned, had an absolutely brilliant game and kept them in it. It's very frustrating. And I was annoyed after the game. But yeah, it's hard to say, oh, everyone would have gone home happy if we won 3 or 4-1, but we didn't get those goals. So there is something that's failing there and we didn't put away the chances. That's the main thing. That's what people are frustrated with. So you can do these ifs and buts, but at the end of the day, we didn't get the goals and we didn't get the 3 points.
Yeah, I think there's also a huge difference between people being happy with the performance or people being happy with the result. I'm really happy with the way we played. I think we created plenty of chances. But of course, a 1-1 draw against 23rd place Rotherham, who had only won one game the entirety of this season in the league, that isn't acceptable whatsoever. I don't think the game is that different to the Sheffield Wednesday one that we completely dominated and won within the last few seconds. I also don't think it's very, very different at all to the Leeds game where we completely controlled and won 3-1. The only difference, but sadly the biggest difference, is that we didn't put away our chances. Jamie, do you think it was a good performance?
It's a tough question because I said, yes, we had the opportunities and we put ourselves in a situation where we had 22 shots, obviously half those being on target. So on the one hand, you could say, yes, the players started to get used to Russell Martin's system and it is getting more effective. However, we're not being clinical enough, which has been our problem for the last few years. And I think it's going to be a recurring problem. But unless we can see a resurgence of Chadham's, because his form has gone completely out the window since the transfer window. And I'm looking forward to the debut of Ross Stewart as well, because he had put up the numbers for Sunderland last year. And hopefully he can do it for us as well, because not too different than our kits, really. So, like, same thing, effectively. You should smash it.
Absolutely. You mentioned Che Adams there, Jamie. Do you think, you know, maybe the dip in his form is due to the transfer deadline day and maybe things not going how he wanted to? Or do you think it's similar to what we've seen before with Che Adams, that he can have 1,000 shots and none of them go in for 10 games, then he'll bag three and three?
It's a very good question, because I think, well, it looked like he was off to Wolves, isn't it? That was very dead set. I think that's, and as was this going home for him, obviously being from up north, the Birmingham area. So I think he probably got quite excited by that, and you can't really blame him, because I know he said he wants on his Instagram, when we got very publicly when we got relegated first, that he was one of the first names to come out and say we're going to fight back for the club. But when a move like that comes around, work under Gary O'Neill, maybe he knows him, I'm not too sure. But I would be upset myself as well. So if it did take a dip, well, evidently has taken a bit of a dip to his form, but I've not lost my faith in him one bit, because, like you said, he had that in the Prem where he'd go away for a couple of games, but then come back, get the 3-3. So I still have faith in him. However, I'm not necessarily mad, because I think that would affect any of our players if they had a move that was effectively dead set to go ahead and then got pulled out last minute.
Yeah, we've seen it with Sulemana as well. I think the first few games where he came back, he didn't quite look fit and firing, whereas I think in the last three games, he's been one of the best players on the pitch every single time. The last few reflective comments on the game against Rotherham. Ollie, after the game, Flynn Down said that the booing was absolutely mental, his words, not mine, at full time. Do you think he's got the? Do you think he's correct in saying that, or do you think the fans have the right to do what they want?
First of all, I don't think it's a correct way of putting it. I don't think the PR manager will be very pleased with that one. But I understand his frustrations. I think as a home game, you want the fans to push you on and try and get the fans behind. I mean, the key thing for me is that I know it's a bit of a tenuous link, but that Newcastle game when they had PSG there, every throw-in was celebrated like a goal. Now, I'm not expecting us to do that at home at Rotherham. Like, that's not the levels I'm talking about there. But it creates an atmosphere, and it kind of almost creates that impending doom for the opposition. If the fans are on their back, they feel that energy, the home team are up for it, and they look like they're closing down on a goal, then, yeah, it can be a really intimidating thing. It can be really good for the home team as well. That's your advantage that you have when you play at home. And maybe it's the frustration in that sense, but I think fans pay their money. They can voice their opinions if they want to. If they want to boo, you can't stop that. However, do I think it's a little bit reactionary? I think the players couldn't really have done much more on the day. It was just kind of one of those days. If it was me, I definitely wouldn't be booing, but some people will be. Some people will be frustrated and they want to take that out. I can understand it. Why he would voice his frustrations, let's just say that. But hopefully it can kind of put a bit of clarity with both the players' expectations and the fans' expectations as well. And I think hopefully we should see from the fans a bit of reactionary from it, and the majority of the fans saying, no, that's not us. We're going to back the players kind of no matter what, really. So I think the next home game, we'll probably see it flip a little bit the other way, and we might see, yeah, a bit more of that atmosphere. The fans going, no, this is what we can do, and we're going to bring the atmosphere to the next one at home, which I can't remember what that is.
It is against somebody after the international break. Yes. And Jamie, also, what do you think about the booing as well? You don't come across as a booer.
No, and I've never left a game early as well. And that, I'm always back the team no matter what. But as I already said, I think to a certain extent, I understand the frustration. However, I've seen the clips of it. Unfortunately, I wasn't at the game. Obviously, living in London, I couldn't make it. But it was almost as if we lost the game. I know it necessarily kind of felt like that, because it was like 2 points dropped rather than 1 point gained. But I do see the side thought process behind it. However, it's not what the players need at that point. I think about the shots we had, the chances we created. We should be appreciating that. Like, we didn't have that against Leicester. We didn't have that against Sunderland. The system is slowly working. Yes, we might be scoring goals, but the chances are starting. That's the sort of mindset I'd see it from, rather than the fact that it was a negative. It should see it as a positive, but unfortunately, it was the 2 points drop.
All right, 7 points from these three games. Ollie, would you have taken that at the start of this period of matches?
Well, I definitely would have taken, if you told me you got 3 points against Leeds, I'd have been absolutely ecstatic. And then if you told me we got held to a draw at Rotherham, I wouldn't be too pleased. But I think it's a reasonable amount. I mean, 7 points from three games, if we continue that average up to the rest of the season, I think that'll put us in a real good stead. I think the main thing for me is we haven't lost. We've got two wins and a draw. Fine by me. I think the main thing is getting those 3 points really pushes that swing in the league. But what is the difference between us and playoffs at the moment? This is
one
bad. I'm
point.
Doing research on the board. One point
one
between
point.
Us and the playoffs.
A heavy goal difference, an 8-goal difference between us and Birmingham because of some not so great results. But 1 point so far.
But that's what I'm saying. One win and a couple of draws elsewhere, massive swing can really move you up the league. So the fact we're still picking up points, ideally we need to pick up some wins to make sure we're in and around playoffs. I think, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but we've hit that 10-11 game mark now where you start to get a rough idea of who the strong people in the league are. You know, we were looking at it and had results, losses to people like Sunderland and Ipswich, but hang on, they're actually kind of up the top with us anyway. These are teams that are very strong and we shouldn't really beat ourselves up at the fact that they gave us a good game. So you can kind of see who we're going to be competing with now, and it's now really time to pick up those 3 points. So for me, I'm okay with 7 points. I think we just need to keep that momentum going and keep picking up some wins now in a kind of real crucial period before Christmas time.
Now, Jamie, I know you were very ambitious at the start of the season, putting us right at the top of the table. But after 11 games, how do you reflect on the season so far? 17 points, the same as four other teams, are already 13 behind Leicester, and I think 12 behind, 11 or 12 behind Ipswich as well, who are on 28. But 10th in the table, 17 points. How do you look at it?
It's a good question, actually, because I think I wouldn't necessarily say, I don't know, I was told 11 games in, you're going to have 17 points. I wouldn't necessarily be happy about it, but I also wouldn't be too upset. I think it is a decent benchmark. It's just, I think I'd rather be up maybe like the Waterloo Press and North End, where they're somehow on 20 points. I'd rather be nearer that mark and be, I don't know, 10 points away from Leicester. I thought it was crazy to say 10 points away from Leicester, even though you're in third. Like, how mental is it?
That is mental, actually.
Wow. Yeah. But I'd rather be to that stage of it. However, it's like Ollie said, it's only one or two games where we can be at that position. So I wouldn't bite your hand off. However, I'd reluctantly shake it, Harry. That's what I'd say.
A reluctant shake. I like that. Yeah. I look at the four games that we've lost as well. Three of those four teams are in the top four. Leicester are probably the best championship team that they'll ever be. Ipswich have a ridiculous start as well. And Middlesbrough, since they beat us, they've now won three in a row, excluding the time that they beat us as well. So they've, you know, picked up seriously since they beat us. So I think it's time to hopefully reflect on so far this season. We've not done too bad, although I can certainly understand the frustrations with the heavy defeats. Moving on to Hull City, they're a team that have done okay. They've also got 17 points. They're above us on goal difference. Liam Rossini has done quite well so far. Ollie, what are your thoughts ahead of the game? I'm not saying that you're going to be a Tigers expert, but maybe from our perspective and also theirs as well, a way to Hull City.
Yeah, is there the potential for it to be a little bit cagey? I mean, we're both very similar in league position, and I think both the teams will be looking at it and thinking a loss here and it could be really detrimental to our league position. So I wouldn't be surprised if the first half's a bit of a scrap and then the second half is real where the quality comes from. I'd like to think after the international break, we'll have some rested players. Do we have a fitness update on Ross Stewart yet? Because I know it was mentioned around international break was when we'd expect him to see him around the squad. But I haven't heard anything of yet. So I don't know whether it will be mentioned in the like previews or when it comes closer to the game. But yeah, I'm wondering, is he going to be somewhere close to fitness soon?
I think before the Rotherham match, I think Alfie House asked asked Russell Martin, and he sort of didn't want to put too much of a time frame on it. I think he's training on grass at the moment. Whether that means he's involved with the team in terms of training, I've not really seen any footage of that on any of the club social media pages. Of course, he's getting closer and closer, but I don't know how far away. I think due to the fact that we've got Adams, we've got Armstrong, he's not trying to rush him back because maybe that'll have an even longer term detriment to his fitness, especially for a new signing for £10-12 million. You don't want that. But yeah, I think he's getting closer.
Okay. So yeah, I don't know whether that will have any involvement in the game. I think it's very unlikely. But yeah, just kind of returning back to my original point in summary, I can see it being a little bit scrappy. I can actually see substitutions changing the game a lot as well. We're going to have, again, bringing up a big, high quality side to Hull, and hopefully we can have some positive substitutions that can affect the game if it isn't quite going right. We have the players that we can bring off the bench that can make a difference. But yeah, I can see it being a little bit of a scrappy one, and hopefully we can kind of scrap our way through it a little bit like we did at Stoke.
Jamie, looking ahead for this game, we're both on the same amount of points. Do you see this as a chance to get back to winning ways? They've only won one in their last five after a really, really good start.
Yeah, I think it'll be a definitely interesting match. I think Ollie's description of a scrappy game would be very accurate, as I was trying to say. However, I'm looking forward to see Alfie Jones, the former Southampton Academy player, because he's been playing for Hull for quite a long time now, over 100 appearances for the Tigers. I think it'd be interesting to see how he developed as a player. I wanted you to ask me the audience question, basically, because I had it prepped. But I'm looking forward to the game, because I always really liked Hull growing up as well. They might have been the badge, because I've had a bit of a soft spot for them, so the orange and black's a cool kit. But it'd be interesting to see as well, because they got the on loan Liam Delap and the permanent signing of Aaron Connolly. Two young strikers, I think, could be a bit dangerous for us, because Aaron Connolly had a decent start with Hull, get a few goals, and then Liam Delap were heavily linked with him in our relegation season. Thankfully, we didn't go for it because he didn't have a very successful period at Stoke last year. However, those two up front can be quite dangerous.
Yeah, Connolly's got 5 in 7 so far, so he's had a really, really good start. I always remember, I think on his debut, he scored 2 against Tottenham, and then Pochettino got sacked the day after, I want to say. Ollie, there's a big 2-week gap between the fixtures, so plenty of things can happen injury-wise. And I think I know the answer to this question already, but would you make any changes, or would you keep it all the same?
I really like the side. I think I'd probably keep it very, very similar. I think you're right in the fact international break, you could have players who pick up little injuries or drop out of squads. I always find it interesting to see which players kind of leave the squad out of injury, which probably means I'm probably not going to play. I'm going to pretend I've got a problem with my hamstring. But yeah, we'll see what it looks like when we come to it a little bit closer to the time. But if it was me, I'd try and keep it as similar as possible to the Rotherham game, really. I think that was the strongest team we could probably put out. So yeah, for me, I'd probably try and keep it the same.
And Jamie, would you keep it all the same, or was there anyone that was on the bench there, like, do you know what, I want him to start?
I'm not too sure. It was a long time between the matches, and who knows what injuries can pick up, who can pick up injuries on international duty, as we have a lot of players out, which is quite nice to see. However, I think I wouldn't mind the same one against Rotherham, maybe bringing in Alcaraz, depending on how his time with Argentina goes away. But I wouldn't be disappointed if it was the same side.
Well, the last time we played Hull City in the Championship, we got a double over them at the KC Stadium. Jos Højvelt scored in a 2-0 win. And the last time we won at Hull at all was when Victor Wanyama scored that lovely goal. Wow. Long distance as well, as part of a 6-game winning streak against them, although we've lost and drawn in our last two. So hopefully things change. It's score prediction time. Hull City versus Southampton. Ollie, what do you think is going to happen?
Oh, well, I was having a look at the last time we played Hull. I was trying to work out when it was, and Andy Robertson and Harry Maguire was at the back for them.
Wow.
And Dusan Tadic missed a penalty in the 90th minute. Do you guys remember that?
No,
a long time ago. But yeah, what do I think the result's going to be? I reckon it's a draw. I think a 2-2.
Ollie's saying 2-2. Jamie, what do you think's going to happen?
I'm going to go for a sneaky 2-0 win. Another clean sheet.
a 2-0 win. I'm going to go for 2-1. Once again, I don't quite think we're going to get a clean sheet, but I hope the clinical edge that was lacking in the last game will come back for this one. Alcaraz will be beaming with joy that he was able to play with Messi and will bring that confidence to Hull. So it doesn't really sound that glamorous, does it, really? But we'll take 3 points, 3 wins in 4. And I think everyone would certainly take that. Anyway, that's all we've got time for this week's episode of the podcast. We reviewed the 1-1 draw against Rotherham. Was it a good performance? Should we have done better? I guess you can decide for yourself. And also previewed the game against Hull City, who have started the season pretty well. My name's Harry Tizard. I've been joined by Ollie Boast.
Thank you very much for listening.
Jamie Allen.
Thank you for listening to my amazing voice.
And after the international break, we will hopefully be reviewing a big win against Hull City, as well as preview clashes against Preston North End and Birmingham City. We'll see you then.